Hello everyone, it's the Kings of Anglia podcast, episode number 42. It's the Christmas special, baby.
Episode 43.
It's still the Christmas special, baby. My name's Mark Keith, I'm your host as ever, and with me, as always, my very good friends and partners in crime, Stuart the Dr. Watson.
All right.
And Andy Hutch, Alfred Hutchcock Watson, Warren.
It's not a double barreled.
Yeah, we've been at the sherry already. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, very well. We're getting some nice looks through the glass of reception here because we're bringing so much fire to the podcast.
They've never seen so much life. Anyway, I better turn that off.
Do we have the rights for that?
Should we say?
Let's say yes.
Of course we do.
Run DMC will be fine with that, won't they?
Of course they will.
They listen to the show. They like it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Absolutely. Can I just say that's the best Christmas song of all time as well before we get going?
Okay.
Christmas and Hollis.
I don't like Christmas songs.
That doesn't surprise me for some reason.
Why?
None.
Not really. What ones are you enjoying?
Man who doesn't buy his wife a Christmas present doesn't also like Christmas songs.
What about like Fairy Tale of New York? You know, the poems.
Now, I'm going to... This is unpopular opinion time. Overrated.
Definitely.
Fairy Tale of New York. I'm not having it. My wife and I actually bonded at the weekend. We don't bond over much. But we went to a wedding and this came on at the end. And we both in... What's the word? At the same time, said, I hate this song.
Really?
And we both looked at each other and it was a little moment.
The spark was back.
Like, yeah.
The marriage is alive.
Yeah,
yes.
That's it. Yeah, we're back in
then
the
you
game.
Kissed passionately.
And we were staying in the hotel. Yeah.
So what is... obviously, Mark, I'm saying Run DMC is the best Christmas and Hollis, if you're wondering. That's the best Christmas song of all time because I'm so urban. You're saying you don't like any Christmas songs whatsoever, Alfred?
I don't hate them. I just don't... They don't excite... I think we need some new ones.
We're not saying Mariah Carey.
That's not the best one, no.
Belting Out for Christmas, Darkness.
Quite like that one.
Yeah.
Fairy Tale in New York. I think people like that too much because it's got the word ass in it. And
yeah.
That just makes people think, oh, it's edgy, it's Christmas,
as well,
yeah. which we're not going to say.
Exactly.
But I think that makes people a little too excited,
yeah.
If I'm honest.
Mm. What about some of the classics, you know, like Nat King Cole?
I like the classics.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the classics. I just think we need a new one. We need a modern classic. When was the last new one?
Let's write one, because then we're,
okay.
we're sorted then. We always talk about what we might do when journalism inevitably goes down the pan.
Yeah.
We'll need some sort of venture. Pen a Christmas hit and then we're done. That's it. Then.
Every year, in come the royalties, job done.
I think I read somewhere that Noddy Holder makes like 200 grand a year just off the rights of that bloody song.
Exactly.
It's not even a good one.
Average.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, come on, it does make you feel good.
Yeah.
What's your friend Bloomy doing? He could write us a song, couldn't he?
Good point.
Actually, yeah. In collaboration with Benjamin Bloom.
Yeah.
This could be the podcast collab.
Absolutely, Christmas song. He could do that.
Excellent.
Anyway,
it's a great idea.
Chaps, it's really good to see you. We've not been together at all this week. Stu is off obviously last weekend. We must of course first of all say thank you very much, Stuart Watson, for kindly taking the weekend off.
Yeah.
Thus guaranteeing Ipswich Town beat Wigan.
Called it many weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah,
you said, when's the next win coming? I said it will be when I'm away. It's happened. There seems to be a bit of an online movement to keep me away. Someone even suggested that we should start a sort of a crowdfunding to pay my wages in order to keep me away, which I'm very much on board with,
yeah.
Especially at this time of year. So
absolutely. The good news is that Stuart also has selfishly already decided that he's not going to work the Christmas period. He's going to go away. And leave Andy Warren to cover the QPR game. So, again, we know there's 3 points coming on Boxing Day at least.
Yeah, don't hold out much hope for Sheffield United, but Boxing Day.
Boxing Day is the next
coming.
One. Yep. Yeah.
He
absolutely.
Is working the Christmas period, though. In
well, yeah, if you like. Stewie, did you have a good time?
I did.
You were at this wedding?
I was at a wedding,
you?
Yeah. Good for a dear friend of mine's wedding. Very good, thank you, yeah.
Did you follow the town game? Were you excited when you saw it?
Somebody, yeah, in the middle of the speeches, leaned across and showed me on their phone that it was 1-0, because they knew. So, yeah, it was a massive result, wasn't it? Massive, massive result. Didn't sound like too much of a fun occasion,
It was disgusting,
Andy.
Stuart. It was horrible.
It was horrible. That's what they needed, though, wasn't it? Just a horrible win. They just had to
yeah.
get a bloody win from somewhere.
It was horrible. It was the definition of an ugly 1-0. And
yeah.
That's exactly what they... Even the goal was ugly. Sometimes an ugly 1-0 can have a really nice goal in it. This one gets worse every time I see it.
When I saw there was like 1,000 minutes of time added on, I thought, oh, here we go. They're going to
absolutely.
End up
you thought
it.
From the moment they scored, everybody in the
yeah.
stadium was thinking, oh, no. Here we go. Preston. Wigan just kept getting free kicks on the edge of the box, and every time it just felt like that Preston game where Gallagher just passed it into the corner of the net, and they had, I think there was three of them. Oh, it was horrible. It was really, really, really
scale
awful.
Scale of 1 to 10, how cold were you?
My bones were cold.
That's a good saying.
Well, I don't know where that puts it on the scale. Probably.
Pretty high, I would have thought.
Could you feel your toes?
I've got quite warm toes. I'm a warm toed man. So, yeah.
What a warm toed man. Toad.
T-O-E-D.
New nickname there.
Mr. Toad.
I also wonder about you boys, because again, for people who don't know, you think that obviously these boys, they live a glamorous lifestyle, they're in very warm press boxes, but they're not. You're exposed to the elements, you're sitting out there in the cold, and then obviously fingers for you are quite important to be able to type and write and stuff. How do you keep your fingers functioning? Because you can't wear a full glove, can you?
Yeah.
You can't wear a full glove with a keyboard.
You could wear a fingerless glove, but I find that quite restrictive. Yeah. You just man up, Mark, and you just get through it. I mean, it's pretty brave. We don't like to talk about it, but...
Yeah, it's just what we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I sit on my own hands for a little bit, just to give them a bit...
That's the sort of thing you should do for Stu, really.
Sit on each other's hands.
Sit on his hands. Yeah, well, Stu's a senior guy, obviously.
I'm not sitting on his hands.
Not again, anyway.
I'll decide that. You've also got your hand injury as well, Andy, which
that's
is
true. Yeah,
problematic.
We should share.
Oh, yeah, I've got a serious hand injury.
Currently looking.
Describe this for the listeners.
You explain, Hutchie.
Well, I'm wearing a brace, hand brace, because I have what was described to me as a inflamed and severe bout of tendonitis throughout my left wrist, which I also broke when I was younger, which they believe has complicated this.
Yeah,
it's a bit of like a special NHS kind of Velcro number that goes halfway down the arm.
Fetching.
It's not great. Do you want to smell it as well?
I don't.
Have a little cog.
I don't.
I did wash it last night, but
not.
And we can't write on it. It's not like you've broken your arms. We can't write on it.
No. It is also property of the NHS. They say they want it back, but...
How long are you going to be in that contraption for?
Well, could be 4 to 6 weeks. They actually told me that I could take that time off work, but I'm not doing that because...
They gave you the option to be written off, as it were.
as a human being.
Signed off.
4 to 6 weeks is the prognosis. It can last as long as 6 months. Next step is probably some cortisone injections... Pump me full of drugs.
So all the footballers were on back in the day, weren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
Just get you through a game.
Yeah.
Who cares if you can't
when
walk
they, all the
50.
Ex-pros talk about, like, rotation. They kind of turn their nose up at squad rotation these days. We used to play 80 games in a season. Yeah, and most of you can't actually walk now because you had a cortisone injection. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Beattie, God rest his soul, I mean, he could barely walk in latter years because I think they basically gave him one every game and of course medically now we know that is not very good for you.
Not great.
It was all about just being able to play, wasn't it, back in the day in a lot of sports actually. You can see the same thing in American football as well. Chaps, let's talk about Christmas before we get into the football.
Yep.
Now, you're both fathers of young children, so I'd imagine Christmas, I don't personally have kids and I don't want them, but I can see the merit, the appeal of having kids around this time of year because you get to relive Christmas through their eyes.
Yep.
So talk me through the kind of what's going to happen in your various households on Christmas Day. Share with the listeners what special memories you're going to be making.
This is our first one with a small person, so it's a bit trial and error. Stu's probably a better place to talk about it.
This is the first one for Aya that she can actually kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, she's 2.5, so she's well into it all now. Just hoping that she doesn't throw any curveballs in 24 hours before in terms of what she wants.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of little meltdowns where you go to Santa's grotto, tell Father Christmas what you want. She tells him. They hand you like a little mini present on the day. It's obviously quite confusing when you open that present and it's not what you've just asked for. So we've had a few little toddler meltdowns.
I asked for a pony. This is bullshit.
Yeah, basically. That's basically it. So, looking forward to it, mate. It'll be good.
Are you going to? Because obviously now you're at the stage where you can leave out the old carrot and mince pie for Santa. You also need to establish what Santa drinks, don't you? You don't want to be having sherry if what you really want. Santa likes Peroni, that kind of thing. What do you reckon is that tradition going to be set for?
I don't know. Yeah, just
will you put the old flour on the floor, the Santa footsteps,
all
that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we'll do all of that. It's going to be good. It's
And Hutchie, Jessica, it's her very first Christmas.
It is. She's 8 months, so she doesn't really know what's going on, but she does like colour. She loves the Christmas tree. Every morning, she's looking at it, clapping at it.
Yeah.
We've put some baubles on the low branches that she takes off in the morning. Got the Santa plate, which something will go on. And we're debating whether or not we've got a little plate for Rudolph, obviously. I think we're going to put some cat food on it so that the cat actually eats
nice,
it.
Nice, yeah.
And then it's gone.
Yeah,
but that might set a precedent. I don't know. Do reindeers eat turkey nuggets? I don't know. I don't know. But we'll. This one's trial and error. Lots of paper and little presents and bits and bobs.
I bloody love Christmas. Do you love Christmas? I really love Christmas.
I love Christmas when we get... The good thing about this Christmas special is that we're recording this near Christmas. This isn't the middle of October. We've not just put trees up for a laugh just to make it look like Christmas. This is real. And this is when I like Christmas.
Yeah.
The 21st, 22nd, when it's getting close. Real.
Yeah.
This is when I start to enjoy Christmas.
We're actually all off for our Christmas meal. The sports desk Christmas meal. East Anglian Daddy Tom's Christmas meal. Six of us going across to Ask shortly. Get stuck in some festive pasta, the obvious place to go. But chaps, let's talk about football now, I guess. Obviously, Christmas is about presents and having a good time and seeing your family, unless you work in sport, in which case it's just about football. Now, Tower obviously got a massive win last weekend, only 5 points off safety.
Five
points off safety.
5 points is nothing.
So exactly, it's just two games, isn't it? All you've got to do is win two games in a row. Sheffield United this weekend, and then obviously QPR and the other games over the festive period, always very, very busy indeed. Your thoughts, first of all, about the festive period that Town are facing. Absolutely vital, isn't it?
Yeah. I've written a piece on sort of the four festive fixtures that could make or break Ipswich Town season, because that's what we do in this business. But I sort of always joke with Andy that we feel like we write these pieces quite a lot, and these four games are massive. But if they don't win those, then the next four are massive. And it is all a little bit silly when they're... relegation three-pointer and make or break, because you know Lambert's just batted that away by just saying, well, every game's a big game because it's the next one. And you know, you should have that mindset from the very start in August, and he's right in many ways. But in terms of the four games, Sheffield United and Middlesbrough certainly look tough on paper, but Middlesbrough are tanking a little bit at the moment, and Sheffield United lost their last game out, and Chris Wilder's been fairly critical of their performances of late. So, they've got a chance to pick up a few points.
Well, I think
they
have, and this is what Lambert's done. He's given them a chance in games. They're going to go into so many of these games second favourite, but Lambert's given them a chance, and they're technically probably, if you look at it on paper, man for man in each of these games, you'd probably take many of the opposition players every time, but Lambert's given them a chance. It's just whether they can take it or not.
Yeah. Let's take each game as it comes in, because obviously this is
what we should do.
This is the festive period. It's a festive podcast. We're probably not going to have time to do one next week, I wouldn't imagine. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe next Friday, Andy. Who knows? But if we take it as a whole kind of festive period preview, so Sheffield United, first of all, what news is there going into the game? Obviously, I was off yesterday. You had the pressers. Anything interesting coming out ahead of the game?
Couple of knocks, bit of a virus going around the place. No names specifically, but it sounds like maybe one or two players down. Sheffield United, David McGoldrick's return will be a major subplot to things.
Where's McGoldrick been on holiday? He must have been to, is it Lourdes? You know, the holy water place, bathing in there. Because now he's suddenly fit and firing. He can barely tie his shoelace without rupturing his spleen.
Sort of reception do you think Mr. Didzy McGoldrick will get?
I don't know if he will. I think he will be acknowledged.
You don't, it'd just be...
Yeah, I think
it'll... good or bad.
Yeah, I think you might get a ripple. I don't think it'll be bad. I don't think it'll be overly good. I just think it might just get a little bit of a ripple around the ground.
He was there for 5.5 years. It's a long time. Not many players stay at clubs as long as he did. And on his day, he was worth the entrance fee alone. You know, the way he could... He's not the quickest, but the way he can sort of slalom past people with those body swerves and... You know, he came in on loan, had a really big impact. He was a key player during the playoff push, and it was just all a little bit sad how it ended for him. The last couple of years were just completely injury ravaged. And it's interesting. We ran a poll this week in the build up to the game. You know, were Ipswich right to let him go? And it was pretty much a 50-50 split. But we asked that same question back in the summer, and it was almost exclusively yes,
let
him go. And I think that was the feeling at the time. And you know, he was one of the, if not the highest earners at the club, and they were barely getting him out onto the football pitch. And as good a player as he was, I think it was probably the right decision. Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing here, isn't it?
I think that was right for everybody. And you know, obviously, there's going to be envious glances at a man who's remarkably, as you've suggested, Mark, stayed fit for the season and is scoring goals, of course. But that just proves to me that it was right for everybody.
Mm.
Could you see him still being fit here? We've since learned that he was commuting from Nottingham. But that wouldn't have changed.
No, and if that's the case, I mean, that's just been reported up in Yorkshire that Chris Wilder picked up the phone to Mick McCarthy and said, what do you reckon? He was on trial, and Mick apparently told him, well, I don't think the injuries were helped by the fact he was commuting in from Nottingham every day. I mean, if that's correct,
it's madness.
That is madness. Obviously, he had knee injuries, didn't he? He had hamstring problems as well.
Bit of everything.
I can imagine hamstrings.
He had a back injury at one point as well.
Commuting that long. I mean, that's crazy.
You're getting out of a car and all of a sudden you're meant to be training every day and you've been sat in a car for 3 hours. And that 3 hours on a good day.
Yeah. In peak rush hour traffic.
Battling that A14 every day. It's meant to be one
of your prime assets at your football club, and you know, you should be in the days of sports science and all the rest of it. That shouldn't be happening, no. I don't think.
He's going to bloody score though, isn't he, on Saturday?
Well,
of course he is.
That's always the fear. But where would he fit in? Would he fit into this Ipswich team? I don't think so. I don't think there's a place for him in this. We struggled with this before, didn't we? But where does David McGoldrick play?
In the team, Andy.
Where would you play? Up front on his own?
Number 10, you'd find a way to get him in, wouldn't you? If he's fit and scoring goals, he's got to be better than...
If he's fit and scoring goals, but I still think you've got the same problem now as you'd have then. I don't know where he would play in a team like this. Certainly not wide.
I'm not sure he's a... Of course, he's a very talented player, but like you say, the Lambert style of play with a high press and dynamic and high energy... He's certainly not that. He's a silky player. He's not blessed with sort of pace and energy, is he? So, yeah, you might be right. But they've certainly missed his qualities for all of the effort and endeavour. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Whether Ipswich are going to have enough quality to get themselves out of this hole. Mm.
Yeah.
Are there any selection conundrums going into the game? Anyone you'd switch out?
They still haven't got their answer up front. I don't know what he's going to do. I, in our little team graphic we do in the paper last week, I'd pegged Ellis Harrison to come in and start ahead of Jordan Roberts, whoever. I've got to say, I didn't think played very well in that victory for all the running that he did and everything. The quality wasn't there. I don't know who you play as the central striker in that team at the moment. If fit, Harrison's the one for me, but we've looked at it and it's not.
It's a strange one on Harrison, wasn't it? Because he's come back from his injury, he's had two sub-appearances. It was Stoke and, Bristol City?
Bristol City at home.
He comes off the bench against Bristol City, then he's left out of the squad entirely for the next game, then he comes off the bench against Stoke and does well, I actually thought, in his 10 minutes.
Definitely.
Then he's out of the squad entirely for the follow-up game against Wigan. Asked Lambert about that at the press conference and he said it's just basically getting the balance on my bench right in terms of what options he wants on his bench. So
I can see where he's coming from, because Harrison, if you're bringing Harrison off the bench, that's a like-for-like swap for Roberts in many ways, although I think it's clear that Harrison is a better central striker than Jordan Roberts. And I can see why you'd want Jackson as the bench player, because just that pure pace.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a bit surprised they've not managed to get Harrison back into that starting lineup by now, because I think that even those 10 minutes at Stoke just showed the control he has over his own body, the control he has on the ball and holding the ball up a little bit just added something different that Roberts, for all the good work that he's done as a stopgap.
The first two games under Lambert, was it Preston and Reading? I mean, he was holding the ball up. He was backing into centre-backs. He was buying the Ipswich midfield chance time to get up in support. And that's kind of diminished a little bit as the weeks have gone on. I know you mentioned, Andy, in a conversation that maybe teams have worked out what his weaknesses are, that, you know, if you rush him and he doesn't have a lot of time on the ball, then maybe that sort of little lack of quality on the ball sort of comes into play a little bit. But we said from day one that he was always going to be a stopgap solution. and a striker in January is going to be very high on the...
We'll come on to January shortly.
January.
Transfer window opens. A couple of other little bits coming out of the press conference yesterday. We saw for the future a couple of lads signing their first pro deals. Was it Idris? Big
yes. Yeah, Idris has got a first pro deal, and it's a new pro deal for Harry Wright.
Yeah, and what obviously you've watched a lot of the under-23s this season. What can people have?
I like Idris.
Play?
I like Idris.
What kind of player is he?
He's a similar kind of player to Andre Dizel. Maybe a little quicker. But the same kind of player. He's not quite as polished as Andre is. He's only 18, young French lad who's playing youth international football for Tunisia. But he's good on the ball, can move it quickly, gets it into a striker's feet and works off him from there. Good feet, twinkle toes a little bit. It's very raw. We're not talking about a player that should be coming into this relegation battle by any stretch of the imagination. But there's something there, definitely.
One for the future. Yeah. One to look out for. And Harry Wright, he's rated highly, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is obviously son of Richard, which brings its own pressures. He's been a bit up and down in what I've seen of him, but he played really well on Monday in the under-23s.
Yeah. The other most interesting thing to come out of the press conference for me was a chat we've been having this morning, Andy, about Mr. Lambert's watch. Because he does. Man has a beautiful watch.
He has got a beautiful watch. Envious.
If you've not seen it, you can see it in pretty much every picture he's got. It's a nice black colour. And it's got this kind of luminous orange face, which is very, very sexy indeed. It revs my engine, going back to the days where things used to rev my engine at the start of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they not anymore? Is your engine not getting revved?
It's all been a bit flaccid, hasn't it? But yeah, that watch revs my engine, and you put out an appeal to see, because you wanted one, obviously.
I would love one.
Yeah, yeah. You found out exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's called a... How do you pronounce Hublot?
I think it's Hublot, is it?
Hublot, yeah. Probably. That says to me that I can't afford it if I can't pronounce that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Hublot Big Bang.
And it will cost you a big bucks as well.
Yeah, they're retailing at around 20G. So
US dollars.
Well, we did find one for 9,900 US
dollars.
I'll have
two.
20,000 US dollars. You found one half price online.
In a winter sale.
So $8,000 and it's yours, Andy, so...
Yeah,
I think it's I can totally see the appeal with nice watches. As you said, if you had some cash, I'd be quite keen to collect some watches. Also, it's mental that you've got a $10,000 watch on your wrist, which, as I said, is essentially like having Tyrone Mings on your wrist or a fairly decent car just there on your wrist. I mean, good lord.
I think if I spent that money on a watch, and I think we'd all be in the same boat, there will be some questions asked when we returned home.
I'd never get it past the wife, I've got to be honest. Unless she's getting one as well.
Just do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
who's
just
in charge
do it.
Here?
Good point, actually. Yeah. What's that website? You talk amongst yourselves. I'll get purchase sorted.
Yeah. It's a nice watch, though.
Yeah, yeah. Chaps, what should we do now? Do you want to talk about QPR? Or do you want to talk mailbag?
Can I interrupt?
Yes. This is what I was hoping you were going to say.
I've brought something.
Yes.
It's a bit of a Christmas vision.
Do we need some kind of Christmassy tune?
Yes, but I'll sort that out.
Okay.
Post-edit.
Okay, lovely.
I've written a poem.
I love this.
Do you want to hear it?
Of course
yes,
I do.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Share it.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the training ground, not a creature was stirring, nothing making a sound. But Paul Lambert was there, sat in his office, wondering just how he could get town out of this. His candle was burning, a magnificent scent, and he'd written to Evans, his transfer list sent. Part one was achieved, everyone's in it together, but more must be done to make Ipswich Town better. It'll turn, a wondrous ride, but how will he pull off the greatest surprise? Will it be Crouchy, Lansbury or Rudy Gestede, or will he have to make do and mend instead? The vibe is good and the team's spirit strong, but before he arrived it went ever so wrong. Be careful what you wish for, screams the ghost of the past. Questions were asked of the incoming cast. But Lambert cares little for what went before, and he's vowed to serve a crowd yearning for more. He's done this before, bringing success up the road, but even saviours get tired as his eyes start to close. Sleep tight, sweet Lambert. He dreams of 3 points. He'll sleep at his desk. He runs this joint. A ray of blue light is needed this Christmas. It's a hell of a ride. You won't want to miss this.
Hey!
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Hutchie, when did you write that? That
on the walk in this morning, yeah.
You wrote it on the walk in?
Yeah. Just that, penned that, didn't I?
It's just talent, it's just. We're kind of in awe.
Did you like it?
Always the highlight of the pod for
did
me.
Did you like it?
Yeah,
very loved good it. Indeed, yeah.
I wrote that in walking through Alexandra Park this morning near my house.
So you had it in your head and then you had to commit it to paper when you got in?
And I wrote it on my phone.
Wow.
Just on the way down. I walked past a bit of Christmas inspiration this morning. I walked past a group of folk who congregate in Alexandra Park with their dogs. And they were all wearing sort of Christmassy outfits this morning. They gave me some inspiration.
Nice.
The dogs always try and they're always trying to yap at my feet a little bit on the walk to work. It's quite nice, actually.
What do you want for Christmas, Andy?
You.
Me?
I'll leave.
You looked at me a bit intensely then as well.
What do I want for Christmas? 3 points, Stu.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Just 3 points, please.
Yeah.
And Stewie? And that watch.
Oh, yeah.
What do I want for Christmas? I'll tell you what I want. the other day, right, I bought myself some jeans a little while back and forgot I'd bought them and they'd been hanging about in the drawer. So I'd taken them away with me and grabbed them out the suitcase in the morning, put them on, thought, these fit better than I remembered trying on in the shop. These are really nice, really snug, good. Got home many hours later, took them off. They were my wife's jeans. and they were really comfortable. They come from Dorothy Perkins. Right. So I would quite like a pair of women's Dorothy Perkins jeans for Christmas.
I think we can make that happen.
Yeah? It's a bit more doable than a Hublot Big Bang watch, isn't it?
Yeah. Why were they so comfortable? Just the fit?
Just round the crotch. Just very, very roomy there.
They are looser.
Yeah. You've got experience as well, have you, of wearing ladies' jeans?
I've tried a ladies' jean, yeah.
Have you? Interesting.
What do you want for Christmas?
I'd probably say world peace, mate, if I'm honest.
That's really selfless of you, actually.
Cure for cancer, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say. I don't really need anything. I've got everything I need.
You want the watch, don't you?
I'll tell you what I thought that the other day, Stu. We were on this subject of crotches.
Yeah.
I was shopping in Debenhams the other day, and as you walk towards the counter, they've got all the things they try and make you buy.
Yeah.
And they had like 2-for-1 on Giorgio Armani pants, the brief style. And I thought, I must revisit with Stu earlier this year. Obviously, you went to get your lads checked out. The lads needed a bit more support, and you revealed that you were now banging the briefs.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Are you still banging a brief?
In your
women's jeans?
Yeah. Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm like a low-rent Freddie Lundberg. Like a really, really low-rent. Like, you know, with the lack of hair as well.
Have the boys
I'm not wearing
better?
Any today, actually. I need to add some more to the collection. That may be part of the Christmas gift package as well.
So if you get him the pants, I'll sort the jeans.
You'll get him Dorothy Perkins jeans. But seriously, the boys have benefited from the extra support.
I think so, yeah. There's been no follow-up problems.
Excellent.
So,
it's good news.
Yeah, so maybe
as I said earlier, don't knock it till you've tried it. It's all aboard the brief bandwagon.
That is a bandwagon.
I really wanted to revisit some of the issues that we've brought up in the time since I joined this podcast and made it loads better back in the summer, levelled up this stuff. So if there's any that you can think of as we're talking along, feel free to shout out. It was the briefs that caught my eye, which I just wanted to bring up. Let's talk, Andy, you mentioned there in your wonderful poem, which I'm sure everyone enjoyed, hinted at January.
Yeah.
Exciting times, January sales.
Mm.
Now, Lambert had some interesting stuff to say yesterday, didn't he, basically saying that...
Yeah.
The fees that people want are ridiculous.
You said January sales. In football, it's the opposite. It's the prices get doubled in January. You don't get cut prices. Yeah.
You tip up at the shop and it's like, hiya, 200%.
Double price today. What did we make of Lambert's comments yesterday?
You should just say what they are, first of all. I mean, he basically
was talking about how hard it might be to get this job done. And Stu at the press conference asked him, Paul, like, I might be wrong here, but I'm sensing some frustration. And that's exactly how I'd read it as well. It did seem like he was a bit frustrated. And
he knocked that down. He said, no, I've been in this game long enough. I know how difficult January is. But he'd started off by saying, No, the timeline thus far has been, you know, Marcus has basically promised me, oh, you know, we'll get the money. He's a clever man. He knows what's going on. We need a bit of help. It's an unbalanced squad. And I think everyone had got it in their mind, the cavalry's coming. If we just hold on till January, we're going to get this influx of players. Lambert will know. He's got the contacts and we'll be fine. But how many teams ever sign loads of players in the first week of January? It never really works like that, does it?
No, it's a late window, isn't it? And off the top of my head, I don't know how many games that would be, but that's a long old time through to the end of January for Ipswich to not just hang in there to make a dent in these 5 points. Because Lambert says 5 points is nothing, but 5 points is the situation he inherited, nearly 2 months ago, and they've not made a dent in that.
The type of player that they need to improve the squad are going to be coveted by other clubs as well in a better situation than Ipswich. So January is notoriously hard to do business. You're going to be looking at loans, almost definitely, because you're not going to be signing permanent players with the league status so up in the air. So you're going to be looking at loans, experienced players that are on the fringes of their parent clubs, that are going to be on probably a big wage that the parent club will want to move on. So Ipswich have got a foot, probably a loan fee, a hefty loan fee, probably a sizeable percentage of their wage. And that's up to Evans. It's the risk and reward now. Like the financial implications are going down are massive. So does he throw a bit of money at it now to try and avoid that? Or does he think, actually, I'll save some of that money in reserve for next year?
Lick my wounds a little bit. I don't know what the correct answer is to that. I think I know what Paul Lambert thinks the correct answer is to that question. He'd like that money spent. But like Stu says, very, very difficult to do. And I wouldn't expect a nice little tweet popping up from Ipswich Town at 10 a.m. on whatever the 1st of January is.
Tuesday.
Just with a new signing, I can't see it.
Yeah. This is a really hard question to ask you, but do you have any sense about the sort of... I mean, obviously we've talked about Crouch and Charlie Adam and people like that. And he said yesterday that he couldn't believe some of the names that get linked.
Bizarre names, he said, didn't he? He almost laughed them off. He's never outright knocked anything down. He's been asked now about Crouch, Adam, Ben Marshall at Norwich, who's been mentioned, Gestede. These are the ones that have been kind of firmly linked in the national press. He's never gone outright to knock them down, has he? He's kind of started off by almost laughing at it and scoffing it, but he's stopped short of kind of completely ruling it out. So whether there's a little bit of mind games there, I don't know.
Gestede's interesting, isn't he? Because there was the report was that there was actually been an initial approach, wasn't there?
Well, that's what the report in the Telegraph said. Yeah. Ipswich had made initial contact, which,
and that's
is the first step.
He's a name
something
that you actually brought up a few weeks ago in the podcast, isn't he?
I think one of our listeners might have put him forward as an option.
I think so. Quite some time ago, actually.
Yeah.
You want to see him in?
It depends what Rudy Gestede you're getting. I mean, the Rudy Gestede of Blackburn was prolific and a real handful, physical, mobile. He's not really done it since then, has he? He's gone on to Villa. Did he go to Villa after that?
Middlesbrough. And he scored 30 goals in 60 games for Blackburn, which in tandem with Jordan Rhodes was, at the time, they were scoring a lot of goals, but I doubt he's scored 30 goals combined since then. So, like Stu says, it depends which one you're getting. But he probably hasn't been a nailed-on starter for any of these sides. He's been in and out of the team, whereas if he came here, he's starting every week, isn't he? So,
if you're looking at what's available to Ipswich Town, I think he'd be very much at the top end of what they're able to get, I would suggest. Mm.
How many players do you reckon Lambert needs to bring in, ideally?
4, 5, that ballpark, maybe.
In an ideal world, minimum 3, I would suggest. I think striker, obviously, is top of the list for me, a sort of a central striker that can score a few goals and take the pressure off of Freddie. I think they need an experienced midfield general in there, because it's a very inexperienced.
Especially now
midfield
with Skews out. I think they needed one anyway, didn't they? Even before that.
Yeah.
And a right back. I think he would want a right back.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think you do need that, but I think that might be sort of lower on the priority list. I mean, we've seen Carter Vickers linked.
Yeah.
where does he fit into the I know they're shipping goals as a back four, so it's, you know, but what do you do then? Because Pennington's probably arguably been their best player, most consistent
of
player.
Of late, certainly, I'd say.
So you're not, are you wanting to move him to right back? Are you moving your captain, Luke Chambers, to right back to accommodate a central defensive signing? Or as you say, do you just go out and sign a new right back to replace Spence? I don't know.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because Lambert said he doesn't actually really like doing much business in January at all.
Mm.
I think he made one signing at Stoke, didn't he, last January in a bid to keep them up, made one. And I think in an ideal world, he wouldn't want to be making signings, but he also knows that his Ipswich team need a bit of help.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it?
I think a winger will be in there as well.
How about Mr. Mad Dog? Chances of him departing? You reckon he'll still be here February 1st?
I do, because he won't let him leave unless he signed another left back.
Yeah.
And like Stu's already said, there are probably higher priorities on the list than another left back. Saying that, some of Knudsen's decisions of late and performances of late have been a bit on the slide. He's much discussed by fans in that regard, and I think of late actually some of his performances have been a considerably below his ability.
Mm.
But I wouldn't be rushing to sign a new left back, I don't think.
Mm. Any news yet about that 5-year mega deal for Aaron Dryden?
Still waiting on that one.
Played left wing for the under 23s on Monday.
Good though, wasn't it?
Yep.
Chaps, you know what time it is?
Mark,
guys. Yes!
Yeah.
Mark's big question.
Yes! And this one, I'm going to give you a choice because it's Christmas. You're getting a Christmas question. So I want to know, I was going to ask you first of all about your favourite Christmas song. We established now that Andy doesn't like Christmas songs. So I want to know, two-pronged, what's the best Christmas present you ever got? And number two, what's the best Christmas film of all time?
Sky Electrics.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are we talking one of those proper big ones, like... I had a Sky Electrics when I was a kid that you could put some formula in the start and the wheels spun and
yes,
you got smoke out of it.
Yeah, one of those ones.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is an old school Sky Electrics. Got it when probably 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Used it for a good 5 years.
Be honest though, obviously the racing's fairly boring, isn't it? What I used to always do was just do crashes.
Well, just rev...
Just smash the
controller things until they
smell. You make it
smell.
Into a ramp on like a cushion and then they just shoot
just
off
drive
the
it straight into...
So much hours of fun. Best present ever.
Tremendous. How about you, Stewie?
Probably my first bike. I remember, that was like a last minute reveal. Open the curtains and there it was behind the curtains.
What were we talking? Was it a mountain bike?
It was... Yeah, I guess it would have been like a mountain bike, BMX type bike, but blue. Was very much into the Power Rangers at the time.
Sweet.
So me and the boys were up and down the cul-de-sac pretending to be the Power Rangers. That's just your first bike gives you your first sense of freedom.
Absolutely.
Which Power Ranger were you?
Well, I guess I was the blue one because I had the blue bike. Yeah.
What's the blue one called?
I don't know.
I know.
Well, you know.
I think it was called Billy.
He was a bit of like the nerdy one, wasn't he?
A little bit, yeah. Can we quickly talk about the pink Power Ranger? Because one of the Ipswich players is married to the pink Power Ranger.
Yes, good shout.
Jordan Spence is married to the pink Power Ranger.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, which is a solid marriage to have. Well done, Jordan.
He's done well for himself there, that boy. My favourite present, I got I'm dating myself here. I think I was around 10, maybe 9, 10. I got a Walkman.
Yeah.
Which, again, like you say, the bike is your first taste of independence. The Walkman also.
The tape one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
with the little foam bits that went over.
Yeah. And I could listen to like my own music finally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I had the Michael Jackson Bad album.
Yes.
It was a great time in my life.
And how long before it's like chewed up inside all the tape?
Oh, that's
goes
heartbreaking
a bit.
When that happens.
Kids today, man. Well, never
to get
know.
A little pencil, didn't you? And then wind it all back up again.
I bet there's some people listening to this now going, what are you talking about? CDs.
And then you graduated to, did you have the CD Walkman as well? And then that would
skip constantly. But there's a video somewhere of me getting this Walkman. I remember my granddad bought it for me, and it was, at the time, it was the best thing anyone had ever done for me. And I uttered the immortal lines, fits in the palm of your hand or what? Yeah. Went running around the lounge, like jumping up and down with it. It was tremendous.
Had like a little clip on it as well.
Yeah, didn't it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your belt. You thought you were dick shit, yeah, to use Mick McCarthy's term.
Yeah, we never really got to the bottom of that. He used it in a press conference once, didn't he?
Yeah, don't Google it. We did that, didn't we? Yeah. We did Google it. Don't do that.
No,
yeah,
no. Never heard anyone use that phrase before or since.
Films. Best Christmas film. I'm going to start you off. The best Christmas film of all time is Die Hard, clearly. Any advance?
I'm not going to argue with you on that one, because I believe it's a Christmas film, and it's a very good film. But yeah, if we're going for a true spirit of Christmas film,
yeah,
I really like The Holiday with Jude Law and Cameron Diaz in it.
Are you sure you're not wearing ladies' jeans?
Yeah. I quite like it. Had it on our Sky Plus planner for about 5 years. Watch it every year. Wow. So
I like these things. We get to know each other a bit better.
What, sue me, all right? Yeah. Just because I don't like guns at Christmas.
You did.
I do. It's a great film, but I also like the emotional side of things as well.
Interesting. Stewie?
Home Alone would probably be
absolute classic. Yeah.
Or a bit of Elf. Everyone loves a bit of Elf.
Elf would be number two for me. Did you see that Macaulay Culkin reshot some of the
Home Alone stuff?
Yeah, Google. That was good.
That was really, really good. Excellent. I love Mark's big question. That's the end of it for this year. Back next year. Chaps, mailbag time?
Yeah.
We haven't actually talked about the other games coming up by the festive period, have we?
Let's not bother with that.
What's after QPR? I'll do, while you quickly look them up, mm-hmm, what have we got? QPR Boxing Day. Who knows what you get with them? They started the season really poorly. Went really well. Now they're a bit hit and miss under McLaren. Then what? Middlesbrough?
Then Middlesbrough.
Tanking big time, Middlesbrough.
Yeah, which will be a tight game because it's Tony Pulis. He loves a tight game. Which handed Middlesbrough 2 goals live on the telly, which Paul Lambert was watching and immediately rang Stuart Taylor to bizarrely talk about that on the phone. Obviously unaware that any Ipswich move was in the offing. They can't do that again. It'll be a tight game.
That will sum up how far they've come under Lambert. QPR and Middlesbrough were two of the flattest games of the season. That was the end days of Paul Hurst. QPR was after the Swansea win, 2-0 at home defeat. Middlesbrough was a 2-0 home defeat, and they never really showed up on either of those occasions.
That game was done after 15 minutes, wasn't it?
I think they'll both be in for a far tougher test from this Ipswich Town side now.
Just looking at these questions we've got from the Kings of Anglia Army, a lot of them on a Christmas theme, which I'm delighted about. There's not actually that many proper football questions, which
fine by me,
lifts my heart. First of all, it's not really a question, it's more of a statement. Friend of the show, Martin.
Friend of the show,
are
yeah.
Are you friends now?
Me and Martin are friends.
There's some beef, you two, haven't
there? There's no beef.
Yeah.
It's banter that's above your plane of consciousness. That's what's going on.
Not on my level. He just simply says, I think Hutch deserves some sort of promotion. He says, your chief football writer hasn't even seen Town win this season. Hutch deserves rewarding.
Mm-hmm. It's not for me to say.
I'll sit on your hands. game. There we go.
At a game of my choice.
A game of your choice.
Thank you. I might save it for Middlesbrough. Or Accrington, actually. No, you can sit in my hands on Accrington.
That's going to be frozen. I want to see a video of this.
My briefs and women's jeans will warm your fingers.
Your hot ass.
Slightly, yeah.
Whatever Hutch's hands.
Mm.
Luke Moles wants to know, how many pigs in blankets is an acceptable amount to have on your plate for Christmas dinner? For me, anyone with less than 5 is a massive, and I can't say that word, brackets, sorry vegans. So what are you saying? Pigs in blankets, a highlight for you of a Christmas meal?
Definitely.
I'll be honest, pigs in blankets don't often make it to my Christmas plate because they will be picked out of the dish and eaten individually.
They're so easy, aren't
while
they?
I'm trying to, oh, sure, let's put some parsnips on. I'll just have a pig in blanket out of the dish. And by then, I feel like I've had my allocation and feel bad to put more on the plate. Yeah. I love a pig in blanket.
I reckon at least 5. I reckon you probably eat 5 before you even sit down, if I'm being honest.
What kind are we talking, though? Are we talking a serious sausage? Really little one? I'm not talking like a chunky Cumberland or something, but like a proper chip on our
imagine a Cumberland as a... That would be in blanket.
It would be, that'd be a hot hog in a rug.
Yeah.
But like a proper longer chipolata. That's how we do it.
I'm doing a Cumberland in blankets for Christmas Day. It's going to be amazing.
I'm just having a baked potato with mustard.
Let's not start this again. Good Lord, we got some feedback on this. It's still mental, by the way. Still absolutely mental. Who prepares the Christmas meal in your households?
In-laws this year for me, so nice and easy.
Yeah. Hutchie?
There's been a late change. It was just going to be me, Vicky and Jessica for Christmas, which would have meant me cooking, but we're going to my mum's.
Ah, lovely.
So she'll be cooking. Nothing with nice a bit of help from me. Nice world-class roast potatoes dinner. Done by me.
Any other highlights for your Christmas dinner?
I've said before, I'm a Sprout fan.
Oh, absolutely. Brussels sprouts are beautiful, mate.
Not for me.
We chop them up, serve them with a bit of fried pancetta. Fantastic. Yep. Yeah, really good. And also sausage meat stuffing, I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Add more pork, please.
I quite like just a boring sage and onion stuffing.
You're so old school.
I like it.
With your baked potato.
Another highlight is getting on the brandy butter afterwards when you're getting the desserts out, a bit of homemade sort of like brandy butter, getting that
involved. And also, is there anything better than leftover Christmas dinner? You know, the cold, pigs in blankets, that sort of stuff.
Again, also, not many of those going around in our
house. Can we rate quality streets? What's best and worst?
All the gold ones
are
best.
Best. What, yeah. Like the
you
toffee?
Get, yeah, you're and getting stuff. A toffee there. What else? Gold. A fudge? Are you getting that? Is that a gold?
Fudge is pink.
I like a fudge.
Fudge is whack. What are you on about?
Fudge is good.
Fudge is rank.
No. You don't like fudge?
Fudge get left in our house.
Caramel, the caramel, what, the caramel fingers? They're in a
green triangle was the correct answer. That's what.
What's in a green triangle?
It's like a.
It's granate, ganache, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that like what it's called? Is it?
Yeah. Hazelnutty kind of.
The good you don't stuff. Like fudge?
No, I'm not a fudge man.
I'm spending all day Sunday making fudge.
Ah, tremendous.
Spoiler alert, if you're listening, that is your Christmas gift. All of my in-laws.
Can we get, by the way, this is another issue I wanted to raise. Can we get some more bloody Instagram stories from Hutchie? You started a new little cooking stuff. I find it fascinating. Is it this one? Is it Watson peer pressuring you saying it's not cool to be on Instagram?
Me and Stu never discuss Instagram.
Well.
I don't feel like my food is appreciated by the masses, given the feedback to the potato incident, which nobody really listens to the circumstances behind that.
Oh, let's move on from that.
It's still mental.
It's not
mental.
Carry on. But yeah, I'll do some.
Excellent.
Buffages.
Excellent. Tricky McTrickerson, one of my personal favourite contributors, Trico. Wants to know,
friend of
which
the show.
Of the current town squad players do you think wrap their own presents and who leaves it to their mum/partner?
Oh, yes.
Mate, I am absolutely shocking.
I bet none of them do it.
Of course they don't.
I can tell you an Ipswich Town player Christmas story. Driving back from the press conference with Ross yesterday, saw Cole Skews. Oh, I don't know if I should say this now because it might be a bit of a giveaway.
Can't I say?
Yeah, but it's.
Obviously, they all listen to this.
He'd been to the bike shop and had bought a bike, I assume, for one of his children, and he had his big festive jumper on. I hope his children aren't listening, and I've just ruined their Christmas surprise now. But
was this in the car park?
No, this was in town. But
oh, really?
Yeah. He's just walking along the street.
I reckon probably Cole Skews might be a rapper of his own.
Yeah, I think so. He's a proper family man, isn't he? Yeah. I think so. But I don't think that John Nolan has wrapped a Christmas present in his life.
No.
I think you're being unfair to John there.
You think you think he'll rap? Yeah. Who are you saying doesn't wrap their own gifts?
I think most footballers don't because they're used to having their asses wiped for them on a daily basis.
Mm.
Some of them can't even pay their bills at home. I've heard Simon Milton, one of his many roles at Ipswich Town, he was player liaison officer, and I did a feature with him once and he told me about some of the ridiculous things that players have asked him to do in the past, like, my wife wants to get a puppy. Can you sort that out for me? Or the electric's gone off in my house. What do I do? And he came round to see that there was like a pile of 10 unpaid bills.
Yeah, it is unbelievable the extent to which they're kind of mollycoddled and incapable of living normal lives. I mean, opening post, just basic stuff like that. Ridiculous. So there's some other stories you've heard too, if you can't share, about player liaison stuff.
Is there? Remind me this afternoon.
I think some of the players... I think Nolan strikes me as the kind of guy, without trying to dig him out here.
Well,
I think he might wrap presents in tin foil because it's kind of
it's shiny
and nice, and you so don't easy. Have to use get your sellotape out. You can just scrunch it closed.
Are we all really bad at wrapping? Because I'm terrible.
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, I hate it.
Normally, but this year I have actually gone to. I saw a Facebook video of how to wrap awkward sized presents, and I followed it step by step.
That's why you're the doctor. And it was, you're so logical.
It was really good. You have to make a base, and then you, and then it creates like a hole, and then you put the present into the hole, and then you seal the top. And I got ribbon involved and everything.
Incredible. Cool story, bro. Matt Stott. Die Hard is a Christmas film. Discuss. We've already established it as a Christmas
film.
Who?
Who was
Matt
that?
Stott.
Never heard of him.
Formerly of this parish.
No.
We agree with him. The Buffet Bowler. Who do you think the three wise men are to shepherd us to safety? He says Bauer, Gested and Ledley.
Who's the first one?
Bauer.
Bauer.
Is that the right back at Charlton?
Gested and Ledley would be a very successful January for me.
Who would be a successful January?
Gested and Ledley.
Ledley. I've always quite liked Joe Ledley. Could definitely sit at a base of the midfield and pop the ball off from there. Who are the three wise men?
I want Henry Lansbury. He's one I think could make a real difference. I know he's got a slight Norwich connection, having been there on loan, and I know he's wound up Ipswich Town fans in the past, but I think he'd add a little bit of, if he's fit, because I think he's gone off with an injury fairly recently, but I think he'd add a little bit of needle and a little bit of nastiness that I think that they might just need.
I think we need to look past all previous slaggings off needle of Ipswich, don't we? I think Lambert's proved we can... We can look past that for the greater good.
Mm. Adam Flatt back in with another Christmas question. Yorkshire puddings for Christmas dinner, yay or nay? And any thoughts on the Sunderland Till I Die documentary, if you've seen it? I'll take the second part. The Sunderland Till I Die documentary is superb. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen
not
it?
Yet, no.
On Netflix, really, really good. It's I would say it's a lot better than the Man City.
It's more real, isn't it?
It's a lot more real. The players are more likeable. There's more access to the fans and various other parts of the club, which is really interesting. Which I think the Man City got a bit repetitive, didn't it? Oh, they've won another game. Pep's really charismatic. Players are, you know, not great. Yeah, so I'd say that's superb. If you've not watched it, watch it now. One to watch over the festive period, I'd say. Yorkshire puddings for Christmas dinner, then. What are we saying? I'm saying no.
What?
I was going to say that's a no-brainer. Why are we even asking that?
No.
Are you meant... You don't have Yorkshire puddings for Christmas dinner. You have Yorkshire puddings with roast beef. What's wrong with you?
I'm genuinely shocked.
You don't. You have Yorkshire puddings with Christmas dinner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just thought everyone did.
I work with absolute heathens. Yorkshire puddings for Christmas dinner. That's.
I
mental.
Think you need to put that out on a little poll on your Twitter when we're done here, because that.
If anyone,
I
says
didn't
yes,
even
idiots.
Didn't even think that was a question.
Agreed. Yeah, it's just they're up there with pigs in blankets. Yeah. The best part.
That's not. Yorkshire puddings aren't Christmas. That's roast beef.
What if you have roast beef for Christmas?
Well, then that's acceptable. But Yorkshire puddings on Christmas Day, not
do you know
me.
What is a nonsense? Three bird roasts.
Yeah, absolutely. What is that animal?
who is putting carcasses of one animal inside of another
rolling
animal
it
inside
up.
Of another animal?
I'll tell you
it's
who.
Not right, is it?
Iceland.
Yeah.
They're doing that and freezing it. Don't freeze three dead also, birds into one.
It can't be nice either, can it? Because they're just going to be really dry.
What's going in there? Turkey, presumably?
Yeah.
What else are you putting in?
You're probably sticking some kind of smaller, like, kind of grousey thing in there, I guess.
Duck?
Yeah, duck probably. Which again, duck has to be cooked pink. You can't cook turkey pink. I mean, that's ridiculous.
No, you can't because you will get sick.
You will literally.
Good shout, Stu. Absolute. hybrid nonsense.
Nonsense that. Something we can disagree on Yorkshire's, but at least we're as one on the.
Three bird roast.
I will put a poll out about Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah, please do. Because
I'm genuinely unsettled that you both think that's acceptable on Christmas Day.
I think we're unsettled that it's even a question.
Who's the food reviewer in this room?
Me. You went in hard on your latest review,
I did.
By the
yeah,
way.
Did you?
You know, we always said, oh, when are you actually going to do a critical one? This was critical.
Was your velouté not fluffy enough? And
mate,
his butter wasn't warm enough. I picked up on that.
That is quite annoying, though, when you can't spread your butter.
As a man who has eaten in a lot of very good restaurants, the almost universal indicator of a class restaurant is if the butter comes to the table and it's at spreadable temperature.
Mm.
If it's too cold to spread, you're in a shitty restaurant.
Because you're just going to push through your bread, aren't
exactly.
you? And they've bothered to make you a nice bread as well, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Service is a big thing. Service is the thing that separates average restaurants to really good restaurants. And that's a really...
So this restaurant, wherever it is,
will not be sponsoring
the Kings of Anglia podcast anytime soon.
I wouldn't recommend anyone go there, I'm afraid. We could have done better at home, and frequently do. Anyway, Harvey Davis, another Christmas question. Genuine question. Presents under the tree or spread on the sofa? Again, this is mental.
Ooh.
What's going on here? Surely it's under the tree. Who puts them on the sofa?
Yeah, that's under the tree.
Under the tree in the main, but when we were little, mum used to, well, Santa, actually, put my presents on one chair, my brother's on another, and then some other stuff under the tree as well, just for space reasons.
Do you have set positions, like when you come down Christmas morning? I don't know, because you're often not, probably not always in the same place, but like where you sit and that kind of stuff when you're all together, no?
No.
No, fair play.
No.
Just us? Yeah.
Christmas has been quite nomadic for me. Well, yeah. I don't know if I've spent Christmas in the same place 2 years in a row for a very long time.
The pin, that's a question I think we talked about before, about which gifts we'd bring Paul Lambert at the Portman Road stable. I think we have talked about that before, haven't we, in a previous podcast?
I'd give him a new watch so I could have his.
Good shout. He'd be keeping the gold, wouldn't he?
Good shout.
Cash that in for a transfer war chest. What is frankincense and myrrh?
That is a good question. That's a very good question.
Is one of them a...
One of them's like a...
I want to say one of them's a liquid, isn't it?
One of them's like a scent, is it?
Or eau de frankincense.
Yeah, and myrrh. Talk me through myrrh.
They should do like a frankincense, if it indeed is a scent, like a deodorant, Lynx frankincense.
I'm going to have to Google Java,
Africa.
Are Lynx still pumping out new
scents? Oh, yeah. On the continent, though, not called Lynx. Do you know what they're called in Europe?
What?
Axe.
Frankincense is an aromatic resin used in incense and perfumes.
Yeah, there you go.
Just nice. What you want.
Sounds expensive.
Don't even know how to spell myrrh. Here we go, myrrh.
Myrrh
is a natural gum or resin extracted from a number of small thorny tree species. There you go.
Okay.
So, three wise men come bearing gifts.
I'd take the gold.
Pretty average gifts, I've got to say. Need to step their gift game up back in the day. Son of God.
I wonder if they did their own wrapping.
Just looking up Lynx. Yeah, they're still going, old Lynx.
Yeah.
Lynx Africa's a classic.
Yeah.
Lynx Australia classic. Was the last one.
I used to like Lynx Apollo. But they stopped doing that one.
It's more of a Java man. Where you?
Voodoo.
Lynx Africa, mate. That's what everyone...
Yeah, I mean, Africa's...
It's the classic.
Everyone has
goes without saying.
Yeah. Pin also wants to know, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever witnessed at a Christmas office party? And have you ever tried photocopying bits of your body?
I got quite drunk at one of them, when we used to have more swankier dudes, and now the budget basically gets us a little buffet in the office. But I rode the stairlift thing just as the MD of the company at the time was walking past, which didn't, I worried about for quite some time.
I'm not a fan of Christmas parties, I'll throw that out there.
None of us attended ours last week, did we?
Yeah, that's not me at all, not me at all.
Loves Christmas, hates socialising.
People in general, to be honest.
The spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. Paul wants to know, a football question, he says... The noises from Paul Lambert yesterday concerning Reg transfers. Are we just way off with our valuations of established Championship players, or is it just a bad time to do business? I think you're saying basically it's a bit of both, isn't it? Really hard to do business.
I think they'd be well aware how much these players are earning.
If you're a selling club, you're going to say you're pretty desperate for players at the moment, so pay this, and then so Ipswich can then go through the whole convoluted negotiation. We'll pay you this, but to and fro all the way until somebody blinks on January the 31st, or they accept it's supply and demand, they're in a desperate situation, and they pay the asking price now. That's what they've got to weigh up, really.
Brian Wren, the angry man.
I saw Brian on Monday.
I like Brian.
He was at the under-23s, and he was not in the least bit angry.
No, well, he claims he's not angry, but he often does seem to be quite angry. Yeah, I like him. Your wishes in 2019 for the doors, windows, crisps and cats in your lives. I'm not sure what he means by doors and windows. Is that rhyming slang that I don't know?
Doors and... I've got a new back door. Into
of course.
I'm good for doors.
We're about to invest in two new doors.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very, very boring way of spending quite a lot of money, isn't it?
It is.
Any new plans for your bowels with the road cafes and eccentric diets? Enjoy a very something Christmas, guys.
Yeah, we've just been talking about this. So we've got Middlesbrough on the 29th, which will mean a trip up the A1, which will also mean stopping at the OK Diner, which is probably the last thing that we'll require days after Christmas.
You get to
exits.
A point, don't you, where you literally can't eat any more crap.
Yeah.
That should come more readily than it does when we arrive at the OK Diner, if I'm honest, that point of not being able to fill yourself with anything more. But
Yeah.
Less OK Diner in 2019.
Where else might you go?
I don't know. Suggestions, please, for northern stop-off points.
Scotch corner.
How about other hopes for various things in 2019? Are you a pair of gentlemen who make goals, write goals down at the start of the year? No,
not really. No.
So yeah, you do though, don't you?
I'm very goal orientated.
Do you stick to them?
What was the one you had to do recently just to tick it off?
Oh, yeah.
Spend the week as a vegetarian.
Oh yeah. Discuss this. Yeah.
You left it late.
It's not one that appeals really.
So why did you do it?
Well, because it was, you know, you've got to push yourself, haven't you? Get yourself out of the old comfort zone of eating meat every day.
And then back into it.
And get back right into it for Christmas.
With your three bird roast.
Absolutely. James Gulk. Hutchie, this is probably one for us too. Who's going to win this year's Super Bowl?
Oh, I don't know. And I don't think it's going to be one of the two that we maybe said the last time this question was asked.
What do we say, Patriots?
No, it won't be the Patriots. Do you know, I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to make it to the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if they'll win it.
I'm going to say the LA Rams.
Yeah, they got beat last week though.
Yeah, but I like their coach.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he?
Sean McVay.
McVay.
Younger than me, the bastard. Matt Thomas says, Stewie, what are you still...
just been on his phone.
Lynx Africa, who can tell me the year that was released?
Ooh.
94.
Hutchie?
I want to say earlier, 89?
No, 95.
Ooh. There was that classic
and what was the follow-up for a bonus question?
Follow-up fragrance.
The tough follow-up to Lynx Africa.
The difficult second fragrance.
Atlantis.
Two options here. Atlantis was a little bit later.
Oh, that was a good one as well.
Was it Apollo or something?
No, that was 98. You're both in the right, but Atlantis was 97, Apollo was 98. The answer for 96 was Inca? Or Aztec.
Oh, Aztec.
Accepted either of those.
No, like a one a year company, was that, are they rolling out a new fragrance?
I've just found a wiki page, right?
I used to line them up, because obviously around that kind of time was when I began to sweat more as a 10-year-old or so.
Preschool disco or post PE, you would cane like a whole can of it, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
just cover yourself in it.
And a whole pot of that jelly hair gel.
Oh mate, yeah. True story, I once, back in the day, I used to have the obligatory curtains.
Yeah.
And I used so much hairspray on that my hairspray habit, i.e. I used to have to go down the village shop and buy cans of hairspray, that they actually reported me to the head teacher. Because they thought I was sniffing it. I mean, I'm talking, my hair was bad, man. I mean, it was rock solid. So yeah, I had to have a chat with the head teacher about what I was doing with the can a week of hairspray.
What did you say? Just,
I said, have you seen my barnet? Like, that's where it's all going, honest. Matt Thomas says, are we going to struggle to get players in January? I think we've already discussed that. It's going to be difficult, isn't it?
But not impossible.
Stephen Fuchs says, Ipswich made a big deal about getting players early in January and I was optimistic. Now they seem to urge caution. I'm worried again. Do you think the cavalry will arrive to save us? So we're not thinking it's going to be quick.
Definitely felt like a bit of a softening of the stance on that yesterday, didn't it?
I think the bottom line is they need to get more, still continue to get more out of what they've got, because the cast that's there at the moment is still going to be hugely important for the rest of this season.
Harry Butcher, he's a big fan of you, Stu. Only ever asked questions about you. What are you hoping to find under your tree come Christmas morning, Dr. Stu?
Dr. Stu, well, we've covered this.
What would you like?
My Dorothy Perkins jeans.
Yeah.
Haven't actually put in a formal request for those. I'm happy with some socks. I'm a simple man. It's not about me now. We're adults. We're not worried about gifts. I don't know what I want.
I
don't want for much.
I'll take Rachel Riley wrapped up. That'd be nice.
Now we're talking.
Okay.
What are you saying, Hutch? Advances on that?
Nobody asked me, so.
I'm asking you.
Do
you get presents from other people in your life? Like your parents and stuff? They buy you presents?
Yeah, I tell them not to.
Yeah.
But
do you buy presents for other people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just
your wife?
Yeah, we just agreed not to buy them for each other because
I can see the sense in that.
You're coming around to my way of thinking.
Finally.
Go on holiday instead. We're going to go away in January. That's what we're going to do. I need to request a week off.
Denied.
Oh.
Sorry.
The human torch is denied.
Finally, in this festive mailbag, a sensible question about football to finish with. Oliver Friston wants to know, should we use Danasian's work permit issues to go back on the transfer? Would be a cruel thing to do, but feel like 750 grand could be better spent elsewhere. Short answer is, Stewie?
No. We did a podcast with Ian Milne and Stuart Hayton, the club secretary, and they were pretty clear that Ipswich are very much locked into this. Which from an Accrington Stanley point of view, you can understand. You know, they've basically spent that money already, or are starting to spend that money. They're building new stands and new changing rooms and all sorts at Accrington. So the work permit will happen. We're repeatedly told it's just a case of bureaucracy and they're just waiting for it to arrive in the post, basically. So it's a frustrating one, because in the meantime, he's taking up a loan slot. You can have as many loan players as you want. You can only name a maximum of 5 in a match day squad. Jano is not featuring as it is anyway, so I think that will be him out of squads, because I'm pretty sure that they'll sign at least a couple or 3 lone players.
Okay, well, we're 10 minutes away from my Christmas meal, so let's start wrapping this up, boys. Let's finish, shall we, with a few predictions about the festive period. Biggest games since the last games, etc, etc. So, Sheffield United, first of all, home on Saturday. Stuart Watson will be covering it, so that definitely means the Town aren't going to win.
Yep.
What are you saying?
Well, on that basis alone, I've got them down for a narrow defeat. I just look at that Sheffield United squad and I just... Their record against teams, they're becoming a bit flat-track bullies. They've lost to the better sides. They're pretty much beating all the teams down towards the bottom. I think Ipswich will put up a good fight, but ultimately fall just short, and it will probably be McGoldrick or Sharp who scores the goal.
What are you saying, Hutchie?
I think the positivity that I was able to witness last weekend is maybe carrying over a little bit. I can't see them winning, but I don't see why they can't snatch a draw.
That's the spirit. QPR away, Stu, you're not going to be there, so they're going to win, aren't they?
That's a win, yeah, for that reason.
But I think they can win that game.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no reason. If they come and play with the intensity that we've seen under Lambert, they can win these games. They can also get beaten, but I think they could win on Boxing Day as well.
Borough away, just where you want to be spending December 29th, cold, miserable.
I might actually get you to sit on my hands at that one, thinking about it. I'll cash that in sooner rather than later.
Money in the
before
bank.
I forget, yeah.
What are we saying for that?
Can
get anything out of that? You
it's not as daunting as it looked a few weeks ago. I mean, it depends what happens for Middlesbrough in the next couple of games in terms of what mood their crowd and players are in going into that one, but I think they might get something from that game.
That's the one I can't see them. As silly as these predictions are now, that's the one I can't see them getting anything from.
Yeah,
sadly.
It's tough on paper.
I think another much more spirited, but ultimately...
You don't concede goals, Middlesbrough, do they? That's the concern.
And then...
Mills, the big one.
New Year's Day.
Yeah, that's the relegation six-pointer. That's an oft overused phrase, but that really does look like
They've got to win those games. It's like the Wigan game. We've got to win it.
Millwall and Rotherham back-to-back at home at the start of the year. I think that is looking... That's looking big, isn't it?
Yeah, with Accrington in between.
Mm. Those four games that we've mentioned, I think they need 2 wins out of those.
Probably. I think you're right.
Time will tell.
And I think they'll get them.
Oh, yes. Bold. Bold high five.
Yes.
Eiffel Tower.
Woo!
Woo! Town are going to win games.
Let's go and have our Christmas lunch.
So all that needs to be said as we play out is thanks very much for listening with us this year. Bit Mariah, can't beat you at this. Can't beat it. No, what are you doing?
Moving it closer.
Okay, fair enough.
Because then I don't have to do any editing on
this. Absolutely.
Which is great.
Please do hit subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us a review on iTunes, 5-star review, because it helps in our visibility. Stuart Watson, it's been a pleasure recording this with you this year. I hope you get your Dorothy Perkins jeans.
Thank you.
Andrew Hutch Warren, I'm a big fan of your work. I hope you get something under the tree. Maybe your wife won't even buy you a present.
She can't buy him a present. I'm worried he's going to be
She better not buy me anything. We've already had the chat not happening again.
Yeah.
So I love Christmas though. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Absolutely. Obviously, have a great Christmas and a very, very happy new year. Let's hope that Town start it in a much better position than they are at the moment. We get some points on the board. Let's go and eat, boys. Come on, Christmas. I'm very interested in eating a big porker at some point.